same. You broke my will, but what a thrill. Goodness gracious, great balls of fire. I let it love, but I
we'll have to reestablish.
You came along and woo, now, honey. I've changed my mind. This love is fine. Great balls of fire.
Goodness gracious, great piles of topics. It's the Dennis Prager Show for this Wednesday, the 10th day of April, 2019. Mark Davis filling in from 6:60 a.m. The Answer, Dallas-Fort Worth. Great to be here. It's a one-day thing. Dennis is back tomorrow, and we are overjoyed to be with you. Glad to have you along. Here's some of what I envision doing, but I do some of the heavy lifting, and the rest is taken up by you. You know the phone number. 1-8-PRAGER-776, 1-8-PRAGER-776. Always get a hold of me on Twitter, at Mark Davis, M-A-R-K Davis. Much appreciate that. That's a whole other talk show that takes place over there. And here's what I envision doing. First, in the newsy department, the breaking news department, this morning, Attorney General Barr is testifying before a Senate subcommittee, and you can hear the sound of the shoe going over to the other foot. After two damaging, needless years of poking and prodding and conspiracies and falsehoods and just all kinds of offenses committed against the country and against logic and against the Constitution and against all manner of things, against the rule of law, we now have an administration and an attorney general in William Barr who is going to begin. I emphasize, begin to take a look at some things that happened before Trump was even president, things that happened in the Obama administration, his exchange with Senator Jeanne Shaheen about spying, about the Obama White House spying on the Trump campaign. Let me share with you the latest, and then we've got a bunch of other things that we'll talk about today. We have areas of America where there's a measles outbreak. I guess it's been a couple weeks since I've had time to spend time with you here on the Dennis Prager Show. I have a solution that honors liberty and freedom and rights on all sides with regard to how to handle the desire on the part of some Americans not to vaccinate their kids. Do you have a right not to vaccinate your kids? Yes, you do. Does the local school have a right not to let your kid in if that's your decision? Yes, it does. Problem solved. Oh, not to the satisfaction of everyone, but that's the only solution that makes sense. We'll talk a little bit about that. We will spend. I had a local story this morning that I didn't even get to do on my local show because we were filled with love and recollections for Dallas Mavericks 21-year veteran Dirk Nowitzki, who played his last home game last night. It was remarkable. You know, you don't have to care about my area. You don't have to care about basketball. It was an amazing scene. It's about loyalty. It's about devotion. It's about the kind of quality individual that Dirk is. And the big logo was 41-21-1. Number 41, 21 years, one city. And listen, all you Angelinos, I know Kobe. Well, Kobe was 20, so ha ha ha. Kidding. But that's how you get real devotion. A couple of decades in one city. And so we gave a lot of love to Dirk. And so there's a topic that I'm actually covering on my local show tomorrow morning. I'm going to roll it out for you. First thing, my state of Texas has an idea. And it is raising the smoking age. And that would be cigs, smoking, vaping, all that nonsense. Raising the age for that to 21. I don't know if I've had a chance to roll out here on the network my utter distaste for the vaping industry and the utter nonsense of people staying hooked on this nonsense for years. If some people use it to ramp down from actual cigarettes, great. What's that take? 2 weeks? I'll give you 2 months. After that, you're hooked on something new. So I despise this industry. But I'll tell you what, I think that raising the age to 21 is crazy. Because if you're 18, you're 18. If adulthood kicks in at 18, it kicks in at 18. I think it's ridiculous you can take a bullet for your country and you can't drink a beer. So we need to figure out when adulthood starts. So there's that. So all these available and more at 1-8-PRAGER-776, 1-8-PRAGER-776. But to this morning's it's not just political news. It's politics. It's the Trump White House. It's the fates of everything we're fighting for here. And the shoe going on the other foot, here's what I mean. Attorney General Bill Barr testified today that he believes spying did occur on the Trump campaign in 2016, as he vowed to review the conduct of the FBI's original Russia probe and the focus of a related internal review that shifted to the role of a key FBI informant. Quote, I think spying did occur. The question is whether it was adequately predicated. I think it's my obligation. Congress is usually very concerned with intelligence agencies and law enforcement agencies staying in their proper lane. He says, I think spying on a political campaign is a big deal. So these comments come after a new report that the Justice Department's internal watchdog is also scrutinizing. And that's the role of an FBI informant who contacted members of the Trump campaign during the election as part of a broader review of the early stages of the Russia investigation. New York Times reported that Justice Department Inspector General, the IG, a gentleman named Michael Horowitz, is looking into informant Stefan Halper's work during the Russia probe, as well as his work with the FBI prior to the start of that probe. Now, I know we're probed out. We are independent counsel to death, blue ribbon panels, investigations. It is wearying. Makes your brain leak out your ears. I understand. But here's what we've got to have. As a country, free ourselves from the theater of the absurd that the Mueller probe has brought upon us. It is now time to focus on real issues. And we can talk about some of those real issues today. Real issues like the border crisis. Real issues like fiscal sanity. I think it's pretty clear how much I love this administration. Thank God he won. Thank God he won. Thank God he won. It is my triplicate chant on the local show all the time. We didn't just dodge a bullet. We dodged a cannonball. And it's another day, no matter how bad your day is. If today, Wednesday, April 10th, is just kind of a down in the dumps day, you're depressed about something, you're downtrodden about something, something's not going your way, you've just had some brush fire, some crisis, I understand. Lift you up in prayer. I get it. But I just want to share you one thing. You ready? Hillary Clinton is not president of the United States. Day just got better, didn't it? Keep that, write that down, keep it in a pocket. You ever get a little down in the mouth, little case of the doldrums? Hillary Clinton is not president of the United States. So as we move into these real issues of borders and the Constitution and trying to find something that's better than Obamacare and all manner of things that conservative government is supposed to try to do, and it's time for us to be able to focus more on doing those actual things without the nonsense and the BS and the craziness and the needless trauma of this Mueller probe. And here comes the actual report here within days. I've got some insight on what part of the redactions I think the left is going to use to weaponize in the form of a charge of cover-up. There are four things that Attorney General Barr said would be criteria for redaction, things we can't release. And they all make sense, but there's one of them that, believe you me, Democrats are going to pounce on. So as we focus on all of these actual issues, actual problems the nation has, keeping a strong economy, creating more jobs, doing all the things we're supposed to be doing, do we have time? Do we have brain space to have one little parallel track in which there is a thorough examination of who put us through this and how? The Trump-hating snakes within the Mueller probe who have done this to us. The Obama administration officials who were so frightened of a Trump victory that they tried to derail it before it even began. Those are answers the American public deserves as well. And I am all about finding those answers. And I believe we can walk and chew gum at the same time. How about you? All right, 1-8-PRAGER-776, 1-8-PRAGER-776. I'm Mark Davis in for Dennis. Always go to DennisPrager.com, and we'll get the video set up here in a second so you'll be able to see me on television. I may flash the Dirk Nowitzki t-shirt I have on under this. Maybe not. I don't know. Be misuse of the video. And always use Twitter to get a hold of me, at Mark Davis, M-A-R-K Davis. It's the Dennis Prager Show. Glad you are here on a Wednesday. We're just getting warmed up.
The Dennis Prager Show.
All right, we're underway now. We ain't kidding around. Go to DennisPrager.com. Go to DennisPrager.com, not just because it's a good idea, a good thing to do. But I'm going to do the big reveal here, and I'm going to give you time to get to DennisPrager.com. I'm wearing a Dirk t-shirt underneath just a normal black shirt. I got it wasn't special for last night. Was it Nike or somebody? I don't even know. It's a big Dirk face on the front of the shirt. I actually don't wear it out very often because it's kind of ostentatious. let me do a call, and then I'll rise up about 8 inches. I think you can see Dirk's hair, and I'll show you, give you a big Dirk face right there on the DennisPrager.com video feed as we enjoy what's obviously a multi-topic day. All right, there's a lot going on. Barr testifying in the Senate as the shoe prepares to go to the other foot, and we're actually going to get some attention paid to things that deserve to have attention paid to them, namely the relative degrees of malfeasance, skullduggery, and mischief from the Obama administration all the way into the existing probe. You know, I'm all about finding out the degree to which the Obama White House wanted to spy on the Trump campaign. But I also want to know a few things about Peter Strzok and Lisa Page and the den of Trump hating snakes that operated within the Mueller campaign, or the Mueller Freudian slip, the Mueller probe. Attorney General Barr is going to be doing a lot of testifying. I get a feeling, and that's fine. He's great at it. I want Mueller to testify. I just think it's a good idea, and not just so Republicans can hammer him about the den of Trump hating snakes that existed under his umbrella, but just to learn about the process. I mean, you know, Ken Starr had a lot to say about the release of his report in the Clinton era. I just objectively want to hear, because I want to know more about what to think about Mueller. My thought about Mueller right now is that his history is noble. His service to America in many ways has been good. But like a lot of people I could name, and like a lot of people you could name that we've all become familiar with, Trump might have driven him crazy. The Trump years and just the raw reality, the sharp change of direction, the raw reality of change, it drove Bill Kristol insane. It drove Max Boot insane. It drove all kinds of people just out of their stark raving minds, and it's in varying degrees. And I'm sorry, I don't think you could have a Peter Strzok and a Lisa Page and various other folks. This whole coven, this whole cabal of Trump haters operating within and around the Mueller probe. I'm sorry, that was just wrong. It was wrong from day one. And thank God, even this ragtag bunch could not come up with enough to bring this presidency down. Because believe you me, if they'd have found something, we'd have known it. So before the report even comes out, it's kind of like a law of physics. You know what's not in there. But in fact, let me go ahead and telegraph this to you. There are four things that are you at DennisPrager.com? Because as soon as I tell you the four things, I'm showing you Dirk. Which sounds like some terrible code language. I apologize. Anyway, there are four things that Attorney General Barr said will lead to redaction. And we're going to color code them, apparently. That'll be fun. So what color would grand jury testimony be? What color would national security be? What color would ongoing criminal investigations be? There are three of them. And by the way, Democrats will use all of this because we're going to subpoena the entire thing. You must release the entire thing. It's illegal for him to release the entire thing. So grand jury testimony, things that involve grand juries, things that involve national security, things that involve ongoing investigations where you could compromise an ongoing criminal investigation. Yeah, you know, my dog understands why you can't release that stuff. Here's number four. You ready? Privacy concerns regarding peripherally or uninvolved people in the whole mess. So if there's somebody, because you know, I mean, when you take this much time, waste this much money, and expend this much, kill this many trees to put out the report. There's an old school reference. Killing trees? What's it? Must be talking about paper? What's that? But when you expend this much energy to put out a report, there are going to be a gazillion people named in there. And if your name is in there, if you had coffee with somebody who once was related to a cab driver that once took, Michael Cohen to the airport in 2012, or if you once worked for somebody who did dog sitting for Michael Flynn, you're in the Mueller report. And your name, and you'll be destroyed. The left will find you and destroy you. Because what they want to be able to do, what the left wants to be able to do, is after the report comes out, here's something the left is going to do. Remember how the left savaged Attorney General Barr? They said how he came up with that letter way too fast. How could he look through everything in that letter and summarize it that quickly? That report will be out at 9:01 on a given morning. At 9:05, MSNBC will say that is grounds for impeachment. They will somehow be able to analyze it. So that's the fourth. So that fourth thing, that criterion singular, that's the thing that that the left is going to hinge its attack on, because they're going to say, "Ooh, cover up. What kind of privacy concerns are they trying to protect?" Of course, it's valid to protect the privacy of innocent, uninvolved, or peripherally involved people, but it'll create just that aura of suspicion, that little slot of doubt that they will use. Okay, you ready? Are you see what it was about last night at the American Airlines Center? This guy. Here you go. Dirk. Number 41. There you are. Number 41. Who, by the way, will turn 41 in a couple of months. We showed him some love last night, and it's a remarkable career. Just a remarkable career. Yeah. Oh, and we flew some people in. We flew some people in, and Dirk didn't even know it. One was Charles Barkley. One was, we got time to throw some Charles? And one was and Larry Bird. Oh, by the way, Larry Bird and Scottie Pippen and Sean Kemp and Detlef Schrempf, who threw down a little German. But give me some Charles before we hop out of this break.
Well, when I met Dirk Nowitzki, he was 18 years old. We were playing in an exhibition in Germany, and he scored 26 the first half on me. He finished with 42. And I said, son, who the hell are you?
Okay, stop, pause, because we got to go. And I've also learned my lesson, as you guys, I did not have the idea that you guys have freeze frame skills. I shan't be making that mistake again. But all righty, so thank you, Dirk. Thank you, 41. And not just here in the DFW area, but any time in sports, any time you can have someone who dispatches himself, conducts himself, with such honor, such devotion. I mean, I think of Cal Ripken in Baltimore. I think of Kobe in Los Angeles. I think, even here in Dallas, Emmett was an Arizona Cardinal for a year, but I know no harm, no foul. But it's just great. There's so much to lament in the world of sports and so much misbehavior. What a joy it's been to watch Dirk Nowitzki. Back in a moment. It is the Dennis Prager Show for this Wednesday, the 10th day of April. Dennis back tomorrow. Mark Davis with you from sunny and warm. Welcome to Texas springtime. It'll be 91 or 92 right outside this window that's lighting my face on the video feed. 91 or 92 are high in DFW today, while blizzards stretch from Colorado to the Dakotas. Anyway, it is a wide and diverse country, both culturally, ethnically, and meteorologically. All right, to the phones. I brought up about 14 things. Somebody grab one and let's run with it. And we are first in Glendale, California. Hey, Alex. Mark Davison for Dennis. How are you?
Hello, Mark.
Hi.
Thanks to Dennis for having you on. I love his guests every time.
Thanks.
I'm an immigrant myself. I actually came in illegally when I was 13, just so the listeners can know who I am a little bit. I I wanted to talk about how immigrants should be quarantined, like Ellis Island. We should have many Ellis Islands. And the reason for the outbreaks is not only the fault of non-vaxxers. They carry maybe half the fault, but half of the other fault is immigrant kids mainly and adults bringing in disease into the country and infecting both vaccinated at lower rates, but also unvaccinated kids and adults. And then that causes the epidemic.
Now, there is a it's probably impossible to know what the percentages are of from where it comes, but you can't bring in waves of people of all ages from countries that are not as ardent about vaccination as we are and expect there to be no health risk. Now, it's funny because the prime health risk is to the unvaccinated child brought in from wherever. But it also might mean that they are carrying and harboring certain things that can be of danger to American kids, as you say, vaccinated or unvaccinated, less of a risk if unvaccinated. In a paragraph or two, I offered up the only solution to this. It's the only thing that stops the arguing, and you just have to stop the arguing because you can have people who will just beat you to death all day with why they don't want to vaccinate their kids. Fine, knock yourself out. I think you're crazy, but guess what? It's a free country. You can do what you want. It's your life, your body, and it's your kids. Do you have a right not to vaccinate your kids? Of course you do. In the story out of Brooklyn, here's Mayor Bill de Blasio declaring a public health emergency yesterday in the ongoing measles outbreak that's affecting an Orthodox Jewish community. Because here we have a religious objection, and I'm not going to trifle with anybody's religious objection. It's kind of unfortunate, but again, your life, your rights, your children. If somebody's just walking around with no religious obstacle, they've just decided, nah, I don't think I'm going to vaccinate my kids. I think that's sheer idiocy. But guess what? I can't run your life. You have the right not to vaccinate yourself, not to vaccinate your kids. Now, that having been said, whether it's a religious reason that we can have an opinion on but must respect, or whether it's just an ideological reason or a tinfoil hat conspiracy reason, it doesn't matter why. People have the right to do what they have the right to do. But let's talk about rights and where this then naturally carries. Does the school down the road have the right to say no unvaccinated kids? Darn right they do. You bet they do. Does the local pediatrician have the right to say no unvaccinated patients? You bet they do. So you can go ahead and keep your kids unvaccinated all you want, but there might be some natural consequences to that. So if you're a non-vaccinating parent and all of a sudden your kid can't go to the public school down the street, maybe you think twice about your view. Now, if you don't want, then guess what? Hi, homeschooling. Homeschooling. There you go. Have whatever policy you want. It's your house. So I've never suggested this is satisfying to everyone. No solution is going to be satisfying to everyone. But I did just solve the problem by respecting the rights and the liberties of everybody. Absolutely everybody. In going pure de Blasio, they're talking about mandatory vaccinations. In four zip codes in Williamsburg, part of Brooklyn. Under the mandatory vaccination rule, members of the city's Department of Health and Mental Hygiene will check the vaccination records of any person who may have been in contact with infected patients. Violation may be $1,000. City can't. Now, here's the thing. Forced vaccination has a meaning. The city cannot legally, physically force someone to get a vaccination, but those who have not received the MMR vaccine may be given a violation and could be fined $1,000. Listen, I've told you about consequences. And I'm all about consequences. How's the clock going, guys? Are we all right, John? About the consequences? But it doesn't seem to me like the consequences should be $1,000 fine. All right. Sean, real seriously, on the clock. How are we doing on the clock? Okay, very good. Right. Must be reading the clock wrong. Issues I can handle, technology. remains a challenge. All right, everybody. 1-8-PRAGER-776. 1-8-PRAGER-776. Grab a hold of an open line. We got some, not many. Folks are loading up. Got a lot of topics going on from William Barr and the redaction of the Mueller probe. What do you expect from that? And a number of other things as we work our way through a Wednesday. 10th of April, Mark Davison for Dennis. Stick around.
The Dennis Prager Show.
We're not free to scream about.
That's what they do. And I'll tell you, somebody you may well know from the Prager U world, the great Candace Owens. And boy, if you didn't love her 48 hours ago, 24 hours, you do now. Do you see the smackdown that she delivered Congressman Ted Lieu, who attempted, using the lies and the deception and the politics of personal destruction, famous to the left? Man, Ted Lieu played a smidgen. We'll get to this in the next hour. It's remarkable. He plays a little snippet of her. First of all, lesson number one, and I love Candace, but let's go to anybody. Just if it occurs to you in your brain, if the word Hitler goes from your brain to your mouth, stop it. Just find some way to stop it from coming out, no matter how valid your point, no matter how well thought it is, no matter how nuanced, no matter how skilled you are at explaining, just have a full Hitler blockage and have a just in any point that you're ever trying to make. Because what will happen is it will fall into the weaselly, scurrilous hands of your enemies on the left, and they'll say, here's Candace Owens trying to legitimize Hitler. She was doing no such thing. The greatness about Candace is, unlike the usual conservative habit, year after year, decade after decade of, thank you, sir, may I have another? Thank you, sir, may I have another? Or just refusing to engage. Oh, she engaged. She made clear the level of resentment she had for the reckless intellectual dishonesty of Congressman Ted Lieu. It was fantastic. All right, let's do some phone call action. Tom, hey, Mark Davis in for Dennis. How are you?
Hey, very good, Mark, as usual. Stellar job by you. I love it.
Thank you.
You know, I guess, let me try to condense this. I love what President Trump has done. He's got guts. He stood up for Israel. He helped the arms Russia. Obama sent him, what, blankets and TV dinners. He's against the socialism, the toxic, freedom-crushing socialism of AOC with that gangrene New Deal. He's for the free market. He defends this country, the borders. His UN speeches are great. But he makes these silly comments, many of them bullying-like, and when he's got enemies like the devious left-wingers, like the corrupt FBI we're finding out, when he's got people who attack a good Supreme Court justice like Kavanaugh, when he's got the university system and the whole educational system and Hollywood against him, the news media, Mark, I think his reelection may hinge on his being a little more moderate. I don't mean backing down. His guts are amazing. I love him for that. But to be a little more Reagan-esque, and I hope it doesn't come down to tipping the balance in the 2020 election. I love the guy, but back off a little, but don't lose your guts.
Here's the thing. Here's what's vital. I've had that thought a few times. I had it early on. Oh, if only, you know, I've totally purged myself of it, and I recommend purging yourself of it as well. This is why, and listen, I like people that weren't captured or the picture of Heidi Cruz. I didn't like any of those in the campaign. That's fine. But no, he doesn't need to change anything. He is exactly what we all know what we got. We all know the positives. We all know the occasional tweet that might make us go, it doesn't matter. Policies are what matter. And every single time I've had a conversation with someone well-meaning, and I know what you mean, I used to say the same kind of things myself, if only it was like a little more Reagan-esque. Look, Reagan was Reagan-esque. Trump is Trump-esque. And it's exactly what we need. And trying to fine-tune it and figure out some way, some tweet, some something that he might do. Listen, I wish every president was a wise philosopher king. That's not him. He is a sledgehammer. He doesn't care who hates him. He gives as good as he gets and usually better. So I think it's a total waste of time to go walking around saying, oh, I hope we don't lose based on something Trump says. Nothing I can't think of anything he's done, any tweet, any moment, anything that has lost him a fan, that where people say, oh, I voted for him, but oh, I can't take him now. So I would my advice would be not to overanalyze in that regard. That makes sense? All right. That's how I see that to do. Hang on here. Let us now. Let's roll and say hi to Will and Skokie. Hey, Mark Davison for Dennis. How you doing?
How you doing, Mark?
Good.
Yeah, the thing that got me, I'm watching these, I'm listening and watching these Senate testimonies of Barr, and I saw Owens the other day, too, which she was great. The thing is, you got to get in these guys' faces. They'll pull up stuff, and they'll, as they did with Owen, they'll pull something out of context, or with Barr, they'll try to paint him with innuendo. And you got to get back in their faces and say, look, you don't like what I can release? Change the freaking law. You know, you don't like the Electoral College? Fine, pull a constitutional amendment. But you know what? They can't do it. And they don't, they're lazy. That's the big problem now with Congress on both sides, is they want to hand everything over to administrative groups and stuff like that to handle, but they don't want to do their job. And the jobs they do want to do is just for politics or for making them look good, as opposed to actually getting into the nitty gritty of it.
So, beautifully put.
I just wish that
go
ahead. They could go and get in their faces.
Yeah, and Will, thank you. A beautifully put point. Because because Candace walked the line perfectly. If the default setting for Republicans has been to just take it and wimp out and never give back, and you know, thank you, sir, may I have another? But the other extreme has been to people will call me, and I've heard them call Dennis. They say, you know, the left treats us horribly, and they savage us, and they lie, and they get down in the dirt, and we got to get right down in the dirt with them. No, no, no. How can we lecture other people about what they do if we do the same thing? Fighting hard and fighting smart. Civility does not mean weakness. Accountability does not mean that we're necessarily being boorish. Candace very matter-of-factly informed Congressman Liu and anybody watching that Congressman Liu had been profoundly intellectually dishonest. And by the way, Congressman Liu is not a fool. He's not an idiot. He knew exactly what he was doing. Don't give these people an excuse of saying they're big dummies. They're not. They know exactly what they're doing. It is rank dishonesty that's on display. Mark Davis in for Dennis. Follow me on Twitter at Mark Davis. Give us a call, 1-8-PRAGER-776.
The Dennis Prager Show.
Final segment of the first hour of the Dennis Prager Show. A little House of the Rising Sun there, instrumentally, I believe. Very cool, very cool. Alrighty, 1-8-PRAGER-776. Mark Davis in for Dennis. Let's grab a call or two to wrap up the first hour, and then we'll cruise in. I got a couple of new topics for them, but nothing ever dies. Nothing ever dies. We'll still do Attorney General Barr and his next investigative curiosities may lie. And also, let's see, the various things about increasing the smoking age, which I think is stupid. I hate smoking. I hate vaping, all of this. But if you're 18, you're 18. We got to figure out when adulthood kicks in, et cetera, et cetera. All right, we are in Colorado Springs. Dan, hey, Mark Davison for Dennis. How are you?
Mark, it's always great to talk to you. You know, I understand and I agree with you in the fact that we need to be deferential to people. We need to be polite and engaged. But Jerry Nadler needs to remember something. He works for us. Everybody in that room seems to have gotten themselves convinced that because they're a government employee and an elected official, that there's something special. They're our employees.
Okay, true. Obviously true. Here's the thing. If you find yourself saying that about a member of Congress whom you disagree with, let's say Jerry Nadler, the people who voted for Jerry Nadler love everything he does that makes us. The people that voted for Ted Lieu loved the fact that he tried to savage Candace Owens. And they hated, sure. They hated the fact that she embarrassed him. So, I mean, you know, we all say, well, you know, you work for the people. We need to, whether it's Nancy Pelosi or Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez or Jerry Nadler or Ted Lieu, people voted for them. People who disagree with you and me about and they are working for them. They are doing their dark bidding.
But they're way too pompous. Let's go back to, I forget the name of the admiral that was testifying in front of Senator Boxer. He was incredibly deferential, very polite, and she dresses him down because she didn't call him senator. He was calling her ma'am. I'm sorry, lady. You need to be knocked. All of you all need to be knocked down a peg.
Brigadier General Michael Walsh, Army Corps of Engineers, and he called her ma'am, as every polite gentleman does. That is, not only is it a show, not a show of disrespect, it's a show of great respect. And Senator Boxer, this would have been, boy, a great memory. Wow, look at this. Almost 10 years ago, June of 2009.
Ma'am, at the LACPR is...
Do me a favor. Could you say Senator instead of ma'am?
Yes.
It's just a thing. I worked so hard to get that title, so I'd appreciate it. Yes, thank you.
She didn't work as hard as he did.
Yes. What a stupid... that's it. I will add nothing to that except to say Mark Davis in for Dennis Prager, and be right back. God bless.
The Dennis Prager Show, live from the Relief Factor Pain-Free Studio.